You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the China Shop. We are here, back at it again. I'm shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Doing all right. Doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. Having just watched your most recent chess game against an opponent that wasn't me, I bet you're doing just fine.
No, having watched my portfolio dropped 10%.
Oh, yeah, it's a weird day, right?
I thought Powell was dovish. Like, what would a hawk do in this scenario? Like, good Lord. Anyway, that's another episode.
We're hand-trucking barrels of cash out back and burning them.
You might as well, Ben.
We'll get that inflation.
Hey, everything I've been saying to make you guys feel good, it's all been a lie.
It's all been a lie.
Well, shit.
All right, it's not transitory.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Current events, which won't be current by the time a lot of people are listening to this. Yeah, way to be on the ball.
I know, right?
Anyway, we're here doing kind of a...
What have we learned?
Personal Kyle Dan, what have we learned this year now that it's we're recording this December 1st? We've had 11 months of madness.
11 months of madness. We've been kind of doing this for... I don't know, we've been doing this for a little longer than that. When did we actually start? It was like back before the pandemic.
We really started getting serious. Yeah. Well, we've been doing it longer than a year, but I mean like this past 11 months. We started January 1st.
I really look at things like two different ways. We've got like, you know, Nicholas Darvis book, like enthusiasm starting out. By the rips and sometimes lose and sometimes win. And the day we met George Papazov and got access to his trade pro courses as being like that was the day like the real learning seems like it started.
Yeah. And you know, do you remember I had that, that course, that investing course? I don't know if I sent it to you or not.
You might have shared it with me. I think you told me about it, but never looked at it, I don't think.
I recently found it and I pulled up the section on technical analysis.
Yeah.
Now, I watched that DVD course maybe 8 years ago, and it did not click. Like, the presentation of it was poor.
Okay.
Because it's all of the technical analysis information is in there. All the stuff we learned at TradePro, it's not, you know, not like TradePro invented technical analysis, but George, as a teacher, and his enthusiasm is really what makes it so worthwhile. I mean... It's just, he makes it so much easier to comprehend.
Yeah, and he makes it more than just looking at a stock chart. You know, you describe it as a battle. You're a battle between the sellers and the buyers, and you're watching the events unfold. And it's almost like watching like a History Channel special, watching the landing of Normandy. Like, oh, are they going to make it? Are they going to push? They got to push here.
Right? Yeah. Oh, they're pushing back over there.
Yeah.
Look out.
Definitely makes it more personable and a lot easier to follow along. Like, yeah, he does a great job of using good analogies and breaking it down in terms that anybody can understand. But
yeah,
this is not necessarily a, you know, hour long infomercial for TradePro Academy.
kiss George's ass.
Yeah.
No. But it's been such a big part of our growth this year was facilitated with George. So we gotta lead off mentioning it, you know.
And thanking him. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Thanks, George. If you're listening, I know you're not. You're too busy.
Sometimes he does.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just jump in then. Let's talk about some of the top lessons that we've learned.
Well, top lesson I learned is that you can anticipate price targets.
Yes. Yeah. When we first started this thing, I was always thinking like, you can't predict. So just buy and hold is like the best long-term plan.
Likewise. I was just at a brunch with Jen and, the conversation, you know, came up, and Jen's like, well, you should probably talk to Dan if you're talking crypto and stock trading.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three or four people there, and we were all talking, and the prevalent thing that all of them carried with them is, well, you can't predict what it's going to do. All you can do is dollar cost average.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you kind of can if you got the volume by price and you understand what the stock chart is telling you. I didn't get in too much to candlesticks or anything because I didn't want to turn brunch into Dan's stock lessons. Let me pull out the old chalkboard here.
You didn't whip up TradingView and start drawing lines and showing them how trend analysis works?
Well, with one lady, I did pull out TradingView, and I was like, let's look at this crypto. Let me show you the volume, volume by price. But it really struck me because two of the people were longtime investors,
mm-hmm.
right? That were putting time into it, and they were being genuine and open about it, and it really made me realize in my head, like, wow, Dan, you've come so far, because here you are sitting here like, well, come on, yeah, there's a great way to tell right. market structure, volume by price, come on. Technical analysis.
And then there's two keys to that too, right? One is that it's nothing's 100%.
Nothing.
There is still an element of, you know, chaos whenever you're dealing with it. Like,
mm-hmm.
The other one is that it takes a lot of time, a lot of screen time in order to start being able to see those things and be able to act on them properly. And that's something that we're still in the process of getting to.
I think it was Malcolm Gladwell said, to master anything, you need to put 10,000 hours of practice in.
Mm-hmm.
So George, starting in like 2001 or whenever he started, he's got more than 10,000 hours. You know, he's a master. He can look at a chart. I don't have 10,000 hours. I get 1 to 2, maybe 3 hours of screen time on a heavy day. 4 if I'm really digging in, trying to scroll through charts.
Well, you should be getting pretty close to it, though.
That's just it. That's one of the things I realized at the brunch was like, wow, I've put enough screen time with these charts where I don't feel like they're a mystery anymore.
Right.
I'm not a master, but there's nothing mysterious about it.
Right.
But yeah, screen time, and it can't be just sitting and watching. You have to have some things you're watching for. You have to have that base knowledge before you sit down and watch the charts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, confirmation is key, right?
But once you're there, it all looks so obvious,
right? Then you can see it in our chart analysis. Like, we started incorporating that into the regular show,
mm-hmm.
where we'll look at, you know, four or five stocks, I think, in a given week that we're watching for something to happen in the next 4 weeks. Going back and reviewing those, and like, our hit rate is phenomenal right now.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
I think we're doing pretty good.
I would think so. Now, if we were only just doing it with our own money, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like I always pick one out of like the five, and it's always the wrong one.
Oh. Same here. Same here. It's all real estate.
Right.
And I always buy the one that ends up getting rezoned.
Yeah. Ah, well, Murphy, he's a bitch.
Right. What I always end up doing is fucking trying to trade the options, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're finding stocks that we're looking at. But what's actually more successful in my own personal life is the buy the dip strategy.
Just buying stock. With
the shares of the stock. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and doing so in a shorter, or so I should say, a longer time frame mm-hmm. than I tend to do with options, always ends up helping me more than hurting me.
Well, the problem with options is that you have to get the timing and the direction right. Like, that timing aspect of it is what really throws a wrench into things. And when you're doing it with shares, it's so much easier. Shares are a lot
more forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're also boring, right?
I've been playing with the idea of starting a Darvis box list just for buying the dip.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Darvis box is nothing really more than just price action, right? You're just looking for a consolidation on something that's showing strength and then looking for volume to increase.
Right. When I say Darvis box, all I mean, that's shorthand for stock at an all-time high that's in a range, right? It's just consolidating at its all-time high. That's what a Darvis box, that's what he looked for. Like, he didn't even care about volume.
I don't remember. I have to go back and look at the book.
No,
I thought he always wanted to see an increase of volume and then break the box.
No, he just followed price action. He's like, price is the only indicator you need.
Wow.
That was his thing.
That'll bring me to my top lesson, I think, that I've learned this last year. And that revolves all around discipline. Like, there's so many different strategies that you can try and follow. And there's so many different ones that can work. The thing that separates you from being profitable and not, though, is just how well you follow that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of this game is about being disciplined. And I finally just had a eureka moment this last, I think, week. Maybe it was this weekend when I was thinking about futures. And you know, keep hearing people talk about like mental capital. Like, I don't have the capital, the mental capital, the capacity to be able to trade for more than a couple hours a day. And I was like, for a while, like, that never clicked in my head, like, what they're talking about. Like, I always feel still alert. And when I'm watching the charts for, you know, 6 hours, take a little break here and there. Where I start to lack, though, is the discipline. Like, I don't have the discipline to follow my plan or to wait for, you know, prime opportunities. Like, I start getting loosey-goosey with my entries just to try to, you know, to do stuff. And I think that's what they mean when they talk about their mental capital. It's all about having the discipline to stay focused and not take, you know, extra risk when you don't need to. Wait for those, you know, primo entries.
Right. Wait for the ones that just look so good they're irresistible.
And if I would say anybody that's struggling with that discipline, like, one of the biggest things that I think helped me, and I know it, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm assuming it helped you too, was taking that 21-day challenge of just sitting and watching.
Yep.
Like, not trying to think of any entries, not trying to plan any trades, just observing the markets. Because what you're going to find is during that 21 days, there's opportunities every day. And then it suddenly doesn't seem to matter so much when you miss one.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. It takes a lot of the I have to trade now out of it, which leads to the bad timing.
Right. Yep. And then that starts to, when you miss a trade, then you start acting because you're missing out. You're trying to make up for those perceived, you know, missed profits. You think of those as a loss in your head, and then you're chasing that, trying to get that back, even though you never actually had it.
You're right.
If you spend you know, 3 weeks just watching the markets, I promise you'll have a much better headspace when it comes to that. You won't be missing out nearly as much. You'll just be looking for the next one.
But before you start watching, you got to have a foundation to know what you're watching. Got to have that basic foundation.
That's true.
I mean, I'm sure there are many people out there that could just watch and then it just clicks of their own accord. But I'm the kind of person where you need to tell me what I'm watching for.
That would help, yes. What you're watching for in this scenario, I'll go ahead and just break it down for anybody who's considering doing this type of challenge. Like, learn how to plot your levels, where you're looking at like weekly charts and zooming in from the weekly to the daily to the hourly. You're drawing your levels of supports, horizontal lines that intersect like three or more price points, like peaks or troughs. Like, those are areas of interest. Those are areas of supports and resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you're doing for that 21-day challenge is you're watching for when the price approaches those, how it reacts. When it breaks through, when it fails to break through, when it fails at a level, when it falls through, you're watching to see if it comes back. Does it come back and retest it before continuation? Or what's different between that and a head fake where it kind of pops its head above and then fails? Just trying to see how everything reacts. The more time you spend in front of the screen watching these things, the more you'll have in your toolbox when it comes to try to trade them.
Yeah, it's human psychology. Even if they're AI bots trading the securities, it's still human psychology that's guiding it all. And that produces repetitions of patterns and gives you the ability to find high probability trades. No such thing as a sure thing without insider trading, but you know, you can definitely.
Well, no, if you can get a 60% edge, and then if you do well with managing your risk, putting your stop losses where they should be, 60% is more than enough to be able to do this for a full-time job.
Yeah.
Should, you can even do it with, you know, 30 to 40% if you're, depending on how you're taking profit.
Mm-hmm. The other thing there's always going to be another better trade. That's true if it's futures, options, or better trade. There's always going to be another trade. It's true, futures, options, and stocks.
Yes.
Like, you sit and you watch them. It doesn't matter if you're day trading or long-term investing. Like, wait for your setup. Like, form the plan. I always, when I find myself in the woods, it's because I'm trying to play it loose from the hip. I know I was griping today in futures because I was like, ah, the plan failed me. Well, you know what? That's not the typical case.
Right.
And I had plenty of opportunities to follow the plan and do it right. And, you know, it was only later in the day after things had changed, you know, Like, you get an hour and a half into the trading day, well, yeah, you've got to revise your plan. You have to. But the point that I'm trying to make is like, you should be, it's better to be, if you're trading with a plan, even if you're revising it, you can improve because you know what you're doing. When you're trying to do it by the hip, or just it feels right, or your gut, like if you did it wrong, like how are you going to get that, how are you going to try and improve that?
Yeah, and if you're trading with the plan, then you at least have something to go back and analyze if the plan fails. Let the plan fail or succeed on its own merits. At least then you get some data.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that data should be able to inform your next plan.
Uh-huh. I wrote a thing down. It was... I'll come back to that one. We'll stick to this one. Technical analysis is what appeals most to me for making a plan. Like when I was growing up, mm-hmm. and I would think in my head, like, I wish I knew how to play the stock market. Like, I guess what I was always wishing for was, I wish I knew technical analysis. That does not mean that it's the only way to do it. Fundamental analysis is amazing too. It's just different work. They're both hard work. It's just they're two different kinds of hard work. Those ChangeBridge guys, like, they do fundamental analysis, and that's just amazing to me to have the insights into the actual operations of the company and being able to say, like, nope, this company's not them. These guys, yeah, these guys. Because it's just a total different set of factors.
Well, what I found most interesting about that is how they're interested in hearing our take on it from a technical analysis standpoint, because they've always been fundamental analysis type people. That's one of the things that's been nice about doing this show, is just getting exposed to all those different types of thinking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, agreed.
You know, you got George and Vico who do order flow and technical analysis, and you got the ChangeBridge guys who are more fundamental analysis, and you got Dr. Hans, who's a buy and hold type investor, who's with more of a basis on fundamentals. You get to talk to all different people, and most of them successful, as far as we know, right?
Presumably.
I would assume they all are. But yeah, that just goes back to that, you know, the number one takeaway for me this past year is that just all comes down to your discipline. Discipline and risk management, which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, right? It's really the whole name of the game, which brings us to trading psychology. But before we move on to that, the thing that I wrote down that made me laugh, and I was like, I definitely need to say that, like, when I was at that brunch and I was like, oh, I trade futures, nobody wanted to talk about futures. Nobody had a single iota of interest.
I know.
But you know what? The Chicago Mercantile, they don't have any naked shorts. It's not a thing.
Yeah. Everybody has to place their orders through the CME. You don't have to worry about anyone hiding their shit on dark pools. I like it just because it's more pure. But I also like them all, though. I like trading options still, too. And that's another thing that I kind of took away that I thought was very interesting, was that studying futures and trying to learn how to trade those has actually made you a better options trader. And not for the reasons that you would think. Like, not because I'm doing a better job of learning how to analyze price structure and all that, because you're seeing it play out in a much faster time frame. So, I mean, it is some of that. But I think the biggest thing is that I got something else to focus on during the day, to where, like, in order to pull my attention away from futures, it has to be a really good trade setup.
Oh, I see.
So I've introduced scarcity into my options trading, which is, I think, one of the keys to success.
Absolutely.
Not taking every setup, trying to pick from the best ones.
I still struggle with the anxiety of, if I don't own a call or a put right now, I'm losing out somehow. Right? Like, I can't think of the last time, Kyle, and this is sad. This is sad because this is something I need to improve. I can't think of the last time I sold some options contracts at a profit and didn't immediately look for the next one. Like, I never sit it down and be like, okay, well, I'll wait till the market's closed today, analyze some charts, and find the next one. No, it's always, open the charts. Where's everything at? Where's my, I want to make a move right now. I just, I got to burn that profit I just made.
Oh, man. Yeah, how do you deal with that?
What I'm trying to do is just start doing shares and buy the dip, where it forces me, like, to, you know, stick to a plan. You know, got a list of the stocks that are near their all-time highs and in their charts, and I've got their levels, and if it hits the trigger, then I can pull the trigger. But if not, then, well, you know, got to wait.
Sounds like a more clear defined plan is what it sounds like.
Absolutely.
All right. What's what else is on your list of takeaways for this last year?
Trading psychology is critical.
Oh my God. Yeah.
If you don't have a good grip on it, it doesn't matter how good your fucking plan is. It just doesn't.
It's so hard to manage that emotional roller coaster of, I'm king of the world. I just made the best trade ever. To, oh my God, how am I going to feed my family? What am I doing with my life? What was I thinking?
They're all going to laugh at me.
I need to go back through. I think for this month, I need to start throwing back in some of the aspects of Richard Friesen's stuff, especially with like the set score, managing your sensations, emotions, and thoughts, and like taking a physical inventory, a physical, emotional, mental inventory of yourself.
Yeah.
Before you start the trading day, even before each trade, like, oh, am I making this trade now because because it's a good setup, or am I making this trade now because I'm on a rush and I need to feed that emotional satisfaction?
Yeah, that's that emotional satisfaction screws me every time.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people probably struggle with that.
Yeah, well, anyone listening struggling with that, know you're not alone.
Right.
And this is why it's good to have people in your life that you can talk to about your stuff is, you know, that's the way out of it. Just bottling it up makes it worse.
Yeah, having our Discord, I think, has been really helpful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Having a place to share everything, to go to for advice.
And you know what? I don't think anybody on our Discord has ever thrown any negativity on somebody for like, I just lost this money. Look at this bad trade. You know, I think
number one rule of that is don't be a dick. I think that's our only rule.
Don't be a dick. Right? It's nothing but support there. And I myself struggle with trading depression. And it definitely helps to have people that you can interact with and know you're not alone in this. You know, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're like a team, not competing against each other. It's not like if I made $50 a day, Kyle lost $50.
Right.
We're not at a poker table.
Sometimes it feels like that, but yeah, it's a good point. We're first starting to get into that, like hearing people tell us that trading is a lonely game and you need those social structures to be able to share with. And I think the biggest reason for that is because your significant other doesn't want to hear it all the time.
Nope.
Like my wife is learning, you know, reluctantly more about stock trading. I think she does more than she ever thought she would, not because she has any interest in it.
Yeah. I've heard Jen say the same thing. I was like, well, another 5 years, you'll be a pro.
Right. Yeah, how much can you just absorb from secondhand trading? That's the strategy we need to set up.
Eventually, you'd think you'd absorb. I know that, personal anecdote, my mother's aunt was a phone operator in the freaking 30s and 40s, and she would sit and listen to the people talking with their brokers. Now, I don't know what level it was insider trading in terms of like she heard somebody say, this is gonna do this. But I do know that when she died, she was very, very wealthy from a stock portfolio that she started trading based on phone calls that she was listening in on.
Oh, God, I'd love to have that job in the 30s.
Right. Operator, get me Harrison 4444.
Buy Ford.
I actually think she had AT&T shares.
Yeah. Is that before it was AT&T when it was like MCI or whatever?
Ma Bell. Ma Bell. Yeah. Cool figure.
Ah, boy. What else? What else have we learned, Dan?
Well, I know. I thought I had a third note card, but I don't see it. Oh, yeah. Continuing with trading psychology being so critical.
Mm-hmm.
like you mentioned, Richard Friesen, there are a lot of resources out there that only deal with trading psychology, right?
Right.
Like, they're not trying to teach you any fundamental analysis or technical analysis or any system. It's just trying to teach you, like, hey, you're a human being. This is how human beings work. This is how you can manage your mind and your emotions.
And this is how the stock market works based on everybody else doing this. Like, if you can figure out what drives your emotional, you know, need to trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where you're getting your satisfactions and like the FOMO, like if you could figure out and pinpoint all those for yourself, like you probably just figured out where everybody else is doing. Like, if you could be aware of that, like, it should do nothing but help inform your trading decisions.
Yeah. And no matter what the time frame you trade in is, mm-hmm. day trading, you know, weeks, months, years, the psychology is so much more improved with a routine.
Oh yeah.
Right. A trading, you're trading routine. And it's crazy, is sports psychology apparently plays a lot. It's the same thing. And you think of like a baseball player that always, maybe, I don't know, choose the same flavor of gum before every game, right?
Well, I thought that was superstition. I guess the
Well, to the ball players it is, right. But there's some psychology behind it, because when you're sitting in the locker room, when you put that gum in your mouth, there's a textile sensation and a flavor sensation that primes your brain for, oh, it's time to play baseball.
Right. You get the smell of the socks who'd never changed. I'm like, yep, I know what we're doing now.
It's exactly. It's psychologically conditioning yourself, like Pavlov's dog, to have your mouth water when the dinner bell rings. Mm-hmm. That routine works for you.
Yeah.
And it's so important. I have a routine that I've listed out that if I don't follow it in the morning, like, I don't get to trade.
Mm-hmm. What's on the routine?
Nothing crazy. It's I get up in the morning. I walk at least 3 laps around the 5-acre property.
Mm-hmm.
I take a shower. I sit for 5 minutes and go through in my head what trading is to me and how I'm going to do that day, and try and ward off the, yeah, I shouldn't say ward off, make it my chewing gum, try right. And get in and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm trading. I'm looking for market structure, looking for confirmation.
Your pregame speech to get you pumped up.
Pregame speech, right. Then I say a prayer to Hermes. And I haven't finished this yet, but I'll tease it. The Mormon hymns that were hardwired into my brain from birth, the children's songs,
oh God.
I'm going to be rewriting them and sing them to myself before I start trading.
Oh my God.
I don't know, maybe I'll start having church services about it, but I realize, like, because, you know, I complain about it all the time to Jen. I'll be like, I got that stupid song stuck in my head from Mormon primary class. And she's like, well, think about something else. Well, now I'm going to take it back. I'm going to be like, I'm going to rewrite the words to that. And I'm going to make it my song to help me. And that way, you know, because it's in my brain, but now it's empowering me instead of frustrating me.
Oh, that's awesome. I got nothing to say to that.
Well, I'm a musical guy, so, like, you know, the ones that I liked as a kid, I fucking sung with gusto. It's like, yeah, I fucking love this tune.
I don't remember any of the songs.
Let's do it. Well, I'm not gonna sing them. I don't know how copyrights go when they're not a parody.
Can you copyright a hymn?
Oh, the Mormon ones are. The ones that are specifically Mormon.
Are they really?
Those are all copyrighted. Of course they are. Sure. Oh, yeah.
And Scientology has their own, too.
Yeah. But I would actually love that lawsuit.
Right.
I would love to rewrite their hymn for trading and then have them be like, you can't play that on the air. To hell, I can't. It's my hymn now. No, you shit on my religious expression.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Let's move on from the religious minefield that we're stepping into.
off the rails a little bit?
A little bit.
My bad.
That's all right. It was entertaining.
Okay, good. Yeah, I would. We'll circle back to like you said, you got to know why you're trading.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's to make money, that's not a good enough reason.
Yeah.
Like, we all want to make money. We all, it's capitalism. We need money to survive. But if it's, you know, to take care of your family, that's different than making money.
Right.
Right? You got to have a good emotional drive. And I've actually been thinking about putting up pictures of why I'm trading, to have that visual reminder.
The Lambo and all the stuff you want?
No, not like a Bishop. Win Lambo.
Yeah.
When do I get the Lambo? Picture of Jen, because I'd love to get to the point where I'm like, hey, you don't have to work.
Right.
I just print money by logging in and trading futures.
It's coming. Oh, man. I know sometimes it feels like it's really far away, but you got to remember, we're only a few months into our futures journey.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that kind of leads into the last lesson that I wanted to leave with that I learned, but if you got something you want to say first.
Oh, just that, like, that's the big realization I had at the brunch was, like, because I still think of myself as, like, this rookie trader. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not profitable live on futures. Like, God damn it. Like, whoa, you know, it's easy for me to get down on myself. But there I am sitting in a room full of people, and I'm like, I am literally the most informed person in this room
right.
about this stuff. That is meaningful.
That really right? is. Oh, man, you can't really... Yeah, you got to take something positive from that.
Not shitting on anybody whatsoever.
No, it's not that.
Like, it's not their fault. It's nothing to do with them. It's not because I'm great, but that's where I'm at. And it's like, wow, okay. And that actually did motivate me.
No, it's just seeing the fruits of all of the effort that you put into it. And that's
yeah
one of the key realizations for me. Like, when we finally realized that we hit, like, the one-year point, and then going back and looking and being like, oh, my God, we've come so far in this last year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, If you want to do this full time, like, you have to put in the time. There's no shortcuts.
None.
You're not going to take a class, jump on the computer, and be printing money the next week. Like, it's going to be, I know that this doesn't really sell seats or sell subscriptions for people, but
right.
It's going to be about a year of learning and grinding at it every day.
It's a job.
If you don't have that kind of passion for it, then you probably won't be successful.
Yeah. But, you know, just dollar cost average, stick to those ETFs, those market ETFs, you'll be fine.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
You'll be fine. There's still a path for you if that's not your thing.
But if you are,
or
if you are passionate, mm-hmm. you know, there's free stuff everywhere, but, you know, there's a reason why some stuff's free.
That's true.
I know some of the costs of some of the things are kind of prohibitive from wanting to jump in. And believe me, I was skeptical, and I don't know that I ever would have purchased George's courses without getting a taste of them beforehand.
Yeah.
That's the type of person I am. But my God, like, seeing what I've learned and what I've done since getting access to all that stuff, it is worth the investment. Take up your biggest losses right. over the last year and see how much that adds up to, and then see if that money wouldn't have been better spent on, you know, some professional education.
Absolutely.
Because there's not very many places you can go to get that. And yeah, there's a lot of free stuff on the internet. There's also a lot of stupid shit on the internet. It makes it really hard to differentiate when you don't know what you're looking at.
Yes, yes. And I've come across some really, I don't know, in the dregs of YouTube, some really questionable stuff.
Well, anytime you see just the headline that says, like, this is all the money you need in order to live off of dividends for the rest of your life. This one trick can trade and change, you know, take a small account of 500 to 350,000. Like, yeah, that all looks good on paper. That appeals to people's greed, but that's not, you're not going to be successful trying to follow something like that.
Yeah. And I think that's my rule of thumb, generally speaking, when I come across the stuff online now, is like, are they trying to appeal to my greed? If so, I'm out.
Yeah. You got to find...
What was it?
It doesn't have to be...
The last financial advisor we had.
Yeah. Matt Reiner?
Yeah, Matt Reiner. That's Matt what Reiner? He said. If you walk into a financial advisor's office and they're like, I'm going to make you this much money, he's like, walk right out.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same thing for if you're trying to find education online.
You got to find somebody who cares about the people that he's trying to get back to. Those are the ones who are successful and can actually teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. we lucked out finding George, but it doesn't have to be George. You know, just find someone who cares about you. That you're not a product.
Let me give you the number to Scamming Dan's financial plans.
Are we starting that?
Because I care. No, I don't start that because I do care. I'd rather talk about my own losses and our journey
mm-hmm.
than to try and scam people.
George said, when I think we were talking to him about when he first started TradePro, he spent how many years talking to the same, like, three people?
He said, I think he said like two to four years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's a guy who cares.
You got to really care.
Yeah. God, and what I would have given to be one of those fucking first three people. Can you imagine the hands-on attention you would have gotten?
Oh yeah, right? It's personal.
Be over there for Thanksgiving.
Coaching lesson every day.
You'd be buying new Christmas presents. You'd be such good friends.
You're right? This kid's going to call you Uncle Kyle.
I know. Be the godfather. Oh boy. All right. Mm-hmm. You got anything else you want to touch on here?
Things I learned in the past year. Yeah. Meme stocks are powerful.
Yeah. Many different ways.
Meme stocks are powerful, and most professionals stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, but most that we've run into, they're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to go near the meme stuff.
Well, they're unpredictable. It's kind of like the same thing with like an IPO or trading earnings. Like if you have an edge by knowing where, you know, the supports and resistances are going to be, where buyers are going to be interested and where sellers are going to get off the train, why would you want to complicate that with something that trumps technical analysis?
Yeah, right.
I was just going to close with like, if you're struggling, if you're having trouble, like don't be afraid to take a break.
Yeah.
And just observe for a little bit. I think that's one of the best things you can do for yourself.
Yep.
And I think I've recently done it. You've recently done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that.
And you know, obviously we push our Discord server because that's where we're at. But find, there's so many forums. Like, ask questions. And if you don't feel like the question got answered, like, rephrase it. Like, the people that we've talked to that care want to answer every question they can as honestly as they can. Like, people do want to help each other out there.
It's almost like a need to give back. Like, I think the people who are really successful want to try to help other people realize that goal.
Yep.
Because, yeah, if you can just flip on the computer and print money, you know, you need something else to drive you. There's something else to feel satisfaction.
You'll hit a point where you're like, okay, I need more than just this. Most people will, I think.
I think so.
And if you're listening and that's where you're at, come share your knowledge with people. Help give back.
Come share with us. Would love to talk to you.
Kyle, my crypto account did go up 15% in the last 2 days. So I'm doing something right.
Nice. I think I had almost doubled mine.
Oh, I'm nowhere near. I haven't even made up for the losses.
I think, I started well before you did. Yeah, I think when you buy crypto, initially you have to weather a 50% drop first.
And then average back in.
I didn't even average back in. It just came back.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
Although I had been, I just take from the top. Anything that's up at the peaks, just redistribute something that's low.
Make it sound so fucking easy.
That seems to work pretty well. Well, it's easy when there's like hardly anything in there.
I guess my parting thought is just doubling down on like the trading. For me, the trading psychology is the mountain to climb.
It really is.
The knowledge to learn, even if you sit down and you can only put a couple hours a week into learning a new thing, like you'll be there in a few months. You know, you can learn the knowledge of whichever you want to do, technicals or fundamental. You'll get there. But once you're there, it becomes this battle with yourself.
You almost have to go back.
that market euphoria and despair. Yeah, it's so real, and it's hard to.
You have to go back and revisit those previous lessons that you've spent so hard learning, just to reinforce them sometimes, because you start to get away from them if you're not careful.
Yes, indeed. All right, shall we put a bow on it?
I think so. That's enough soul searching. Well, lovey dovey, feely feely.
Folks, we love you, and we love that you love us. Thank you so much. We're so grateful that you all joined us today. We'd like to close by singing a hymn. Thou shalt never, never give up profit.
Thou shalt never abandon the Two Bulls Discord.
I should say, thou shalt always take some profit. That's what I should say.
There you go.
For the love of God, when your shit is up, take some goddamn profit.
God, what was that South Park where Cartman was retaking all the Jesus songs and then, or just taking regular hits and putting Jesus in there? I want to get down on my knees and please Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, my. Never mind. Take that out.
Okay. And on that note, folks, thanks for getting to the end of the show with us. We are really, truly grateful to have everybody as part of the China Shop as we do. And we just have such a good time doing this stuff. Yeah. And we hope you do, too.
Thanks to everyone who shares with us, too. No, it's not easy to put those losses out there.
Yeah. Special shout out to everybody sharing stuff.
Yeah.
We appreciate that openness and the honesty, because that's how we can all get better.
Yep.
So stay tuned. The next episode coming out, we'll talk about bet results. And until then, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.